Blog Talk Radio.
Aquilo que vem de ti e não do homem. Conduz-nos à tua presença e guia-nos em todas as coisas pelo teu Espírito, para que possamos trazer a glória do teu Filho, para podermos manifestá-la àqueles que são teus. Em nome de Jesus, em nome de Yeshua, nós oramos. Amém. Amados irmãos e irmãs, bem-vindos a mais uma madrugada com o Ministério de Estudo em Fortalezas. Estamos trazendo hoje um programa que iremos falar de um assunto que não é muito comum se ouvir falar, mas que vai cada vez sendo mais comum àqueles que já experimentaram passar pelos bastidores de um sistema religioso, seja ele de cariz for, seja ele de cariz evangélico, católico, é uma coisa que muitos já experimentaram e nem sempre estamos preparados para lidar com ele. Estou falando de bullying, bullying religioso, mais concretamente bullying eclesiástico. Estaremos trazendo ensino sobre isto, como lidar, como diagnosticar e como nos sararmos deste veneno que o inimigo tantas vezes planta nas nossas vidas. Quero convidar-vos a ficar connosco nestas 2 horas, primeiro para adorar a Deus e depois para aprofundarmos este assunto. Tenho certeza que muitos irão identificar ou identificar coisas na sua vida que nós podemos dar uma ajuda para resolver. Não somos nós, mas creio que é a vontade de Deus que sejamos usados para alcançarmos esse objetivo. Estaremos falando de coisas, dando exemplos, coisas práticas, por isso, se foi guiado até este programa, deixe ficar. Estaremos também falando para nossos irmãos em inglês, porque temos cada vez mais irmãos que só falam inglês, interessados no nosso programa, nos nossos assuntos. Por isso, solicito que tenham paciência para dividir o tempo com os nossos irmãos. Somos todos uma família, num só espírito, e todos nós precisamos de ser alimentados. Deixe ficar, iremos dar as boas-vindas aos nossos irmãos e ter um período de louvor. E depois sim iremos diretamente ao assunto. Que Deus os abençoe. Em nome de Jesus. Amém. Amém. Obrigado, brothers and sisters. Thank you for your company. Thank you for joining in one more battle of this ministry. Today we will be talking about a matter that is not very usually talked. A kind of taboo in the middle of evangelical world, but God the Father is seeing his army. He's seeing that his children, they need to understand about this phenomenon called bullying. It's not a physical bullying as we also have talked about in the schools. But it's another kind of bullying that we are going to dig here, a spiritual bullying. It's something that is not felt in the physical realm, something that is spiritual and that enslaves so much minds, hearts, souls of people that, in an honest effort, they try to follow Jesus Christ and they get deceived. They get deceived by a system of doctrines, of rules that subliminally replace Jesus Christ in their lives and start following institutions, start following books, rules, start following even men, and they end up very hurt, with deeply wounds, almost falling from their faith in Jesus Christ. This is what God the Father wants to deal about tonight, because Father is looking to heal the ones they want to be healed, the ones they don't give up to love Jesus Christ. So this is for you. I believe that we will be talking about some things, some examples, living examples that you will identify yourself. In a way or another, you will see that you were bullied by this system also. But tonight is the night that God has chosen to fight this, to destroy the stronghold in your life. So I invite you to stay, to worship our God as usually, and we'll be deep, go deep on this matter. There is a link on the chat room that I call the show's notes. You can get the meat there. Just read it if you're interested, because I will be talking about this. I will be reading from these notes, and lately, I will be talking about some living examples of ecclesiastical bullying, religious bullying, that we must understand to help the other ones, if we can avoid them to pass by these trials, we will avoid. But if they have to pass, as a lot of us have passed, we will be ready to help them. So, brothers and sisters, thank you for joining this battle. This is a spiritual battle. Please keep praying for the show, because you know that the enemy will retaliate. I hope that my sound is good, and I hope that you are with a good will to praise our Lord, because I am willing to praise Him. So stay with us. Join your faith with ours, and be blessed in Yahushua Jesus Christ's name.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit.
is the story of a son of God hanging on a cross for me. But it ends with a bride and groom and a wedding by a glassy sea. Oh, death, where is your sting? 'Cause I'll be
where there is war. should I bless the ones who curse me? Can I forgive the ones who hurt me most? Would I weep if you were weeping? Walk with those the world disowns. Can I break the bread of heaven with every lost and hungry soul? Lord, I will. So hear my who cannot speak. Be the hands that help the helpless. Be your arms, the arms that hold the weak. Lord, I will. So hear my life he gave me, just lay it down with all I own. Will I walk with every pilgrim who walked this road, the narrow way of love? With your help, Lord, I will.
Ha vencido tu amor y tu buen corazón. He venido a rendirme a tus pies y decirte, te doy el control. Vengo hasta la cruz a rendirme, si quieres hoy recibirme. Vengo a caer a tus pies y a decirte, por siempre eres tú mi Señor. Hoy te entrego las riendas de mi corazón. Me cansé de pelear y tu amor evitar. Me di cuenta que pierdo si gano esta lucha contra la verdad. Hasta aquí me alcanzó mi obstinada razón. He borrado la raya que me separaba de tu bendición. Vengo hasta la cruz a rendirme, si quieres hoy recibirme. Vengo a caer a tus pies y a decirte, por siempre eres tú. Señor, hoy te entrego las riendas. Vengo hasta la cruz a rendirme, si quieres hoy recibirme. Vengo a caer a tus pies y a decirte, por siempre eres tú mi Señor. Hoy te entrego las riendas de mi corazón.
given the road to princes. You'll be flying on golden wings. You will live in pavilions of splendor. Be surrounded by beautiful things. Hold on to these promises and keep them in your hands. Didn't anyone ever tell you this is your land? This is your land.
Father. We praise you, Father, for this gathering, for the lives that you brought to this show. We pray for you that you guide me in all truth. You put your words in my mouth, your ideas. You put your will inside of me, just to give them what you want. And in all, may the Lord Jesus, Yahushua, be glorified. Let your son grow in your children. Nothing that comes only for myself. And stay inside of them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Okay, I am full of joy of praising our Father, our King, our great, great friend that is Holy Spirit. I want to start to say how are we going to function here. I want to give this meet to everybody, to you that only understand me in English, and to those that are hearing and they don't understand English, just Portuguese. So I will be jumping from Portuguese to English all time, just to update, okay? So don't be confused. I am the same. I'm just one. I'm not God, okay? I'm joking. And so I hope I can make my task. I believe that God will do, not me. So let's start by saying that I have put the link of the additional notes here where I get the material from that are at our disposal on the net about this matter. I will start to say that you can check in English. There is already translated there. This is a blog for of our group of Demolishing Stronghold, a blog called Yahushua Tower, Vigilant Tower. And you can read all the definitions about bullying, religious bullying, and ecclesiastical bullying, because there is different levels. Okay, so I will be right back. I will just update this in Portuguese. Imagine nós estamos cheios da glória de Deus, cheios da alegria de poder estar partilhando com vocês isto. Eu pus um link no chat para quem está vendo. Podem clicar lá, vai diretamente ao nosso blog, onde contém as notas adicionais deste programa, que tem lá tudo o que encontrei na internet à disposição para vocês lerem sobre as definições de bullying, bullying religioso e bullying eclesiástico. Vocês podem confirmar lá, já está em português, está em inglês, é só ler, porque isso já vai servir de cenário, de apoio para vocês entenderem tudo aquilo que nós estamos falando. Eu vou estar funcionando hoje, alternando constantemente entre a língua inglesa e a portuguesa, para não deixar ninguém pendurado muito tempo. Portanto, não se assustem, não vi nada. Não estou. Não é nenhum anjo a falar por mim, sou eu mesmo. Espero conseguir levar isto a bom porto. Pronto, eu vou voltar para o inglês e já cá volto, ok? Entretanto, se quiserem ir dando uma leitura aí, acho que adianta muito se vocês entenderem já o que é que vamos tratar aqui, quais são as definições de bullying, bullying religioso, bullying eclesiástico, saber o que é que estamos falando, a diferença, os padrões, e depois eu já cá volto, ok? Então, já cá venho. Ok. Let's start by saying what we can find there. What is bullying? Okay. It says in the internet that bullying is a kind of practice of violent, intentional, and repeated acts against a defenseless person, causing physical or physiological damage. The term bullying comes from English, which means tyrant. Brutal. The violence is perpetuated by one or more individuals with the purpose of intimidating, or assaulting the victim. This bullying can be done against someone that cannot defend them himself, or to a group of people. These victims often fear the attackers because they are violent and oppressive. Okay, this kind of violence, physical or psychological, can be made in every environment, such as street, school, church, clubs, and even in our own family. Okay. Here in Brazil, the bullying is translated as an act of fidget, tap, punch, taunt, gloat, deride, gossip, nicknames, questioning the masculinity or femininity of the victim. These are some of the most common practices. There is laws against this, okay? And this is something that I want to emphasize this night, that if you are being a victim of this, there are laws that you can use to defend yourself. You can present charges with testimonies. And in the case that is comproved, those that do the bullying, they are in a bad, bad, bad situation because they have to go answer for that. So the first thing I want you to understand is that such, even if it is in your own family, and if you have means to prove what you are passing, if you have record the threats, if you have testimonies, if you have been injured also, you can present charge. Okay? At least in Brazil you can, and here in Europe you can. So this is bullying. This is the general definition of bullying. But what we are going to talk about is another kind of bullying. It's the religious and ecclesiastical bullying. That I believe that we all have felt in our life in a way or another. And I believe that much more people that want to serve Jesus Christ will feel in the future days, in the future times, and they will have to overcome this treacherous tactic of the enemy in our spiritual life. I will be back to talk about religious and ecclesiastical bullying, but I will update this anyway, anytime. If you want to make some questions, please do the questions on the chat room. This is the time for you to tell your story. If you are in doubt that you are suffering bullying, please share with the ones that you want to share. And I know that God has purpose tonight to heal, to bring knowledge and healing to our lives, and maybe some others that we know that we will be able to help, okay? So I'll be right back. Então eu vou começar, amados, por falar sobre a definição de bullying. Como vocês podem ver, na página que eu acrescentei como notas adicionais, estão lá as definições. Eu vou passar assim rapidamente. Bullying é a prática de atos violentos, intencionais e repetidos contra uma pessoa indefesa, que causam danos físicos e psicológicos. O termo vem do inglês bully, que significa tirano, brutal. A violência é praticada por um ou mais indivíduos com o objetivo de intimidar ou até mesmo agredir a vítima. O bullying geralmente é feito contra alguém que muitas vezes nem consegue se defender e nem entende os motivos daquela agressão gratuita. A vítima geralmente teme os agressores por serem violentos e opressores. O bullying pode ser praticado em todo o tipo de ambiente, desde a rua até à igreja, inclusivamente dentro da própria casa da vítima. No Brasil, o bullying é traduzido como o ato de bulir, tocar, bater, sopear, zombar, tripudiar, ridicularizar colocar apelidos jocosos, colocar em dúvida a masculinidade feminina ou masculina da vítima. São algumas das práticas mais comuns. Mas este tipo de ofensa, de violência gratuita, está enquadrado nas infrações previstas do Código Penal, pelo menos no Brasil está. Eu acredito também em Portugal já está. Então, a primeira coisa que vocês têm que entender é que você não precisa estar a sofrer isto, seja em que situação for, sozinho e indefeso. Já está enquadrado nas leis do direito. Você tem como se defender. Basta ser sábio, conseguir provas, testemunhas, gravações, conseguir filmagens, se for possível, e você pode apresentar uma queixa contra esse grupo ou essas pessoas. Okay? Isto é crime. É considerado crime quando provado realmente como um ato continuado, sustentado na vida de alguém. Isto pode causar muita coisa, mas começa sempre por causar muita ansiedade, às vezes distúrbios de sono, estômago, e pode levar até mesmo à vontade de tirar a vida. Isto é coisa séria. Okay? Eu irei voltar para falar sobre realmente aquilo que é o tema deste programa, que é o que me interessa debater aqui. Vou falar sobre o que é o bullying religioso e dar também a definição mais profunda sobre bullying eclesiástico, porque é isto que nos interessa. Eu vou voltar agora para o inglês e deixo-vos, se quiserem, continuem lendo, leiam, porque vale a pena aprofundar sobre estes temas, sobre este assunto, sobre estas definições. Ok? Eu volto já. Ok, brothers and sisters, let's go deep on this matter. I know that this is not a very good thing to talk in the end of the day, but maybe tomorrow will be the day that you have to use what you are going to learn tonight to defend yourself or to defend a sheep of the Lord that is being bullied in the front of your eyes. Okay? So let's see what it means, what are the characteristics of the religious bullying. Basically, bullying, religious bullying, it's supported on the choices at the spiritual level of the person. Okay? If bullying in a general term means can be sustained by the choices or the characteristics, physical characteristics of a person, religious bullying, it's centered on spiritual choice. You can be bullied religiously by the society or even by your own group that you belong religiously talking. You can be oppressed from outside to inside for your choices, like for instance the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you speak, or you can be bullied from inside the group to your person because you don't follow everything that group wants you to follow. So this is bullying. If you are being ostracized, if you are being ridiculized, if you are excluded for the things that as a member of society or as a member of that group, you have the right to be there, to participate, you are being bullied, okay? And why do I say this? Because I have belonged to a church that they say they are Christians, but because their leaders are everything less Christians, they go further, much further than what Jesus says in the Bible. So everyone that doesn't follow, that doesn't dress, that doesn't have the hairs with the way they want and things like this, external things, they start being bullied, starting put away. They start being treated as a leper inside the group. Okay? So I am talking because I have passed this. Okay? You start being bullied and considered an outsider. And you read the Bible and you see that you are not outside of what Jesus said. But you are being bullied by the society or by that group unjustly, looking only at the Word of God, at the commandments of Jesus Christ. You are being treated with injustice. This is bullying. So this is religious bullying. It tries to change your spiritual choices, the way you live with your God, the God that you choose to follow. And this divides yourself. This starts make you feeling guilty. Not because you are guilty on God's eyes, but you are start being feeling guilty because everybody is pointing you as a guilty guy, as a bad sheep. That's where starts the problem. Every ecclesiastical bullying starts with a religious bullying. Okay? This is the second point that you have to understand. And I will give later examples. Every ecclesiastical bullying starts and is perpetuated on a scenario of religious bullying. And every ecclesiastical way of bullying, it's made inside the group with the same members. They say they love you to death because they want to change you in their own ideas, even if it's not in the terms that Jesus has left. This is perpetuated by a spirit of pride, a demonic oppression inside the groups or on the society. This is spiritual warfare. Every time you are being treated with injustice, not because you are disobeying God, not because you are going further than what Jesus has ordained to your life through the Bible and through your intimate relationship. If you start being bullied by those that should not bully you, this is spiritual warfare. Okay? So you can be bullied in your church, in your congregation, you can be bullied in your job, you can be bullied in your family. This is spiritual warfare. It's bullying. It's a spiritual weapon against ourselves. Every time you are following Jesus Christ and you don't cross over the limits of the Holy Spirit and you are attacked, this is not human. Yes, I know that there will be a lot of people here. They will be start opening. I will attend to all of you. I will express myself, my experience all, but please let me try to end the definitions and then we will heal each other with the bless of our Lord, okay? So my brothers and sisters, the second thing I want you to mark on this night is, if you see someone that is being bullied in an ecclesiastical way, you must understand that you are going to engage in a fight, a spiritual fight against demons. Okay? And even those that oppress that person or had oppressed you, maybe they don't know what they are doing. Maybe they have been oppressed also. Okay? And part of our cure is on this. Maybe they were first victim and they are blinded by this spiritual fight. So the first thing I want you to understand that you must release forgiveness for those who did that, even if with bad intention. Because God wants to change that prison. God wants to change your clothes of prison to clothes of joy. And if you forgive, you will receive in double what the man tried to store. Okay? I have been bullied by men that they knew what they were doing. But because they were obeying others above them, they would not put their necks just to help me. A simple guy like me. Understand? Because I was becoming a threat to the big ones there, just for exposing the problems that the church was passing. And because they were going up with that problem, they don't want to solve the problem, they won't change. So I was a threat. So they retaliated, they sent people to do bad works against me, because they are cowards. But I don't hate them, because I know they are in big trouble. Just for you to understand this, one of the pastors that made things like this, just to promote their own children, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, he lost her wife in a quickening cancer in 3 months. An absolutely wealthy woman, 50 and something years, 60 maybe, just lost her life. That's how our Father defended. And I'm not saying this with happiness in my heart. God knows that I never want to pass what that guy made me pass. But because he has two sons, they want to be pastors like him. And if the real gospel was being lived on that church, they could never be pastors. They could never serve in God, not in the terms that they were serving. They had to shut up me. You understand this? This is ecclesiastical bullying. But when we take to God our innocence, God marks on his calendar the time to make us justice. We just need to wait and receive and follow the orders of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God uses the laws of man. Sometimes God uses his own hand. So never, never let you go down when you are on a spiritual fight against ecclesiastic or religious bullying. That's demon fight. It's not with the flesh that we win. It's being in subjection to the Holy Spirit. Not accepting. It's being on the right position. Following the truth. Telling the truth. And God is with you. Okay? Even if first you have suffered. But if you endure, God will honor you. Okay? Just don't follow what the Satan wants, that to enter on the flesh way. Okay? Okay, I'm going to update in Portuguese, and I will start digging up on the ecclesiastical bullying, because that's the major problem. That's when it starts changing the scripture, the context, using and abusing the authority of their titles. This is the problem, because when you accept this, Jesus is replaced by that person in your life and you become defenseless. You don't cannot defend yourself. When you accept that person is more blessed, it's more loved by God, because they are rich, they are beauty, they have titles, and you don't have anything of this. That's when Satan deceives you completely and controls you. This is the deepest ecclesiastical bullying that any person can serve, can feel, because they are completely deceived by Satan. Even when God conducts yourself to some kind of church group, it's not to be accept bullied there. It's for you be a light of his kingdom there. You don't lose your position in the kingdom when you are in the middle of the group. You are a son of truth, of light. And you never, never God sends you to a group or a church to become darkness, to follow those that are in darkness. Remember this, your alliance is with Jesus Christ. He saved you, not the Bible, not the church, not the pastor. Was Christ's body, Christ's blood, and your alliance, your Savior, it's him. It's with him. If you start obeying bad persons just because they have titles, you bring darkness to your life. I don't care if it's Billy Graham. I don't care if it's Obama. My father is the president of the presidents. It's the pastor of the pastors. It's the evangelist of the evangelists. I don't care who the hell the human is. My alliance is with the King of Kings, okay? I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Nobody puts me a plate of soup here to me and my family eat. It's God. God who sustains me, okay? I don't have doubts about that. Otherwise, I was already a pastor on the system now. And I have married with a woman that I didn't love. I was pretending all my life that I was serving Jesus Christ, and I was just operating in fear of the man and Satan take away all my privileges for this hurt. Okay? And I choose to be true, to follow the truth. I'll be right back. Então, amados, nós vamos então falar o que é o bullying religioso. O bullying religioso tem a ver com a sua escolha espiritual. Se o bullying, em termos gerais, tem a ver com as suas características físicas ou meio de vestir, você pode ser ridicularizado na escola, no emprego. Quando falamos de bullying religioso, ou, mais profundamente, bullying eclesiástico, tem a ver com escolhas espirituais, tem a ver com o que é que você escolhe acreditar, seguir o seu Deus, a forma como você se relaciona com o seu Deus. Este tipo de bullying pode ser de fora para dentro, ou seja, você pode ser atacado pela sociedade, pelas suas escolhas, de fora para dentro, contra si, contra o seu grupo. Ou você pode ser atacado também como pessoa dentro do seu próprio grupo. Existem essas duas variantes. Bullying religioso tem a ver com escolhas espirituais. Por exemplo, você pode ser ridicularizado pelo jeito de se vestir. Você pode ser ridicularizado por aquilo que acredita, por aquilo que prega, por seguir Cristo. Mas também pode ser alvo de bullying por não seguir aquilo que o grupo onde você está cumpre rigorosamente. E não estou falando aqui, não estou promovendo desobediência às autoridades eclesiásticas, não. Eu estou relacionando isto com o facto de muitas vezes esse bullying religioso interno não ter a ver com a Bíblia, não ter a ver com o que Jesus ensinou. Ter a ver com propósitos, com invejas com preceitos humanos e tradições que se querem impor à força, ao grupo. E se você resistir, você vai ser alvo de bullying. Tem a ver com, inclusivamente, manipulação da palavra. Quando eu digo palavra, é as palavras, os ensinos de Cristo. A destrução do contexto da Bíblia, por exemplo. Tudo isso serve como instrumento de bullying religioso. Então, o que é o bullying eclesiástico? O bullying eclesiástico tem a ver quando você é atacado sistematicamente por um sentimento de terror psicológico, porque há muitas coisas que podem originar isto em si, baseado num confronto direto com aqueles que são considerados as autoridades desse grupo a que você pertence. Todo bullying eclesiástico começa por ser um bullying religioso interno. Você começa a ter que se confrontar com o abuso da autoridade daqueles que se consideram acima de si na pirâmide divina. Nós vemos nos ensinos de Cristo que não existe pirâmides no reino de Deus. Existe um mestre e existe os seus filhos, os seus discípulos. Uns estão mais envolvidos, outros estão menos, mas não existe pirâmide. Aquele que é maior, pelo contrário, tem é que servir aquele que ainda está menos desenvolvido. Mas, num sistema religioso, o bullying eclesiástico é um dos maiores instrumentos que Satanás utiliza, e muitas vezes as pessoas até nem sabem que estão sendo utilizadas assim, mas que o inimigo utiliza para aprisionar a sua vida espiritual. E pode ser tão perigoso que você acaba, se for acabando por abrir exceções e exceções e tentando fingir que não está errado, que já não está fora do contexto cristão, só porque a igreja se diz cristã, só porque o homem ou a mulher se dizem cristão, você vai aceitando por medo de retaliação, você vai acabar por endeusar a instituição, vai acabar por endeusar as autoridades, vai acabar por temer o Deus daquelas pessoas que jamais vai ser o seu Deus. Porque se aquele Deus só defende os erros dos outros e você tem que os aceitar, há qualquer coisa que está errada. Não é o mesmo Deus que você tem. Você não pode errar, eles podem. E Deus não faz exceção de pessoas. Entendeu? Então, este é o bullying eclesiástico. Eu já vou voltar. Continue, por favor, se quiser. Está mais claro ali nas notas, na página que eu deixei, ver como é fácil nós sermos alvos de bullying eclesiástico. Ok? Ok, brothers. I will start by telling you something that will probably you're not waiting to hear tonight, but I have to say all truth. One of the big instruments that is used in the ecclesiastical bullying that can be used against your real spiritual relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the Bible. And you better believe that it has been used since the Reformation, after the Pope, the Bible, it's the instrument that the devil has used more to replace Jesus Christ in your life. I have already talked about here a lot about what is the Word of God and what is the Bible. The Bible is words of God, of a God. It's a map produced by God. An incomplete, altered map, a corrupted map, because it's not complete, but it contains enough instructions to guide us to the treasure, to the spiritual treasure of God, that is Yahushua, Jesus Christ, inside of us. The Bible is the best map that God has left us to find Jesus Christ in us. The Bible is very important to a Christian that wants to follow Jesus Christ. But the Bible cannot be considered the Word of God, because Jesus is the Word of God. The Word is with God in the beginning, and the Word is God. And if the Word is God, it's eternal. And Jesus said that the Pharisees were looking in the Scriptures to have the eternal life. But Jesus made a difference. The Scriptures talk about me. You are looking in the Word for the eternal life, but it's from me that the Scriptures are talking. Only Jesus has eternal life, not the Bible. Okay? You can take your bath with the Bible. You can use it as a soap. You can use it as a deodorant to your arms. You can walk with Bible, heat Bible. But if you don't follow Jesus Christ and His commandments, and if you don't put your hope in the blood and in the teachings of Jesus Christ, you are going to hell with your Bible. You and your Bible are going to burn in hell. So it's not reading the Bible. It's believing what she talks from the beginning until the end about a living God that sent a person, that incarnate in a person of flesh and bone, to give us salvation. This is the treasure of the Bible, the Word of God, the Logos. And the Bible is the Rhema Word of God. It's a manifestation of the will of God in our lives to teach us how to love and follow and obey and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen, brothers. So when you heard consistently on your group that the Bible is the infallible Word of God, they are saying that the Bible is Jesus, and it's not Jesus. That's the deception of this modern system. The second beast, the beast that comes from the first beast, it talks. It talks like the lamb, but it's a dragon, because Satan is master in disguise. He will not come to tell all lies. No, he will use part of the truth to simply deceive you and redirect your life to follow not Jesus Christ. You start following Bible. And when you start following Bible, you start following a book that it's not correctly translated from the original. Not even closer. And I can prove you. If you're not afraid of what I'm talking, please open your Bible and see how the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is related in Mark chapter 15, verse 32. Mark 15, 32. I will read with you how they wrote that crucifixion on that gospel, okay? This is the phase where Christ was on the cross, and they were mocking Jesus Christ, okay? And it says, Mark 15, 32, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him, Hello, in Mark, the infallible word of God in paper tells a different story of other gospels. On other gospel, it says that only one burglar was mocking Jesus Christ. And this gospel, it says both were mocking Jesus Christ. So, which word of God are you going to follow now? Which Jesus are you going to believe now? If the Bible is infallible like Jesus. Do you see the trap now? You will find a lot of these things comparing scripture. Only because Satan knows that he can change the Bible. He can manipulate the scriptures like he tried to use it against Jesus Christ himself. But he cannot change the Holy Spirit. Let me rephrase here. I believe that there are enough truths in the Bible, and it's the best instrument for a Christian that we have to lead us to Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the Word, big Word of God, the Logos, the first and the last. And the Bible is words of God in the middle. If it's simple to understand this, I'm not denying the God of the Bible just by saying that the Bible is not the God. Okay? So, this is how we are being deceived in the system. Because when they convince you that the Bible is God, they use the Bible to their own interest. That's why people are paying tithes, where Jesus Christ gives an order, a completely order to their disciples, give for free. But people start following Bible. Start divinizing other persons. Not everybody. There's a lot of people awaking for this trap. And I hope that you understand this is the major instrument of ecclesiastical bullying. This is how I have been trapped for some years, operating in fear. And this is how a lot of people are being trapped on that prison camp called Christian Church. Christians only to outside. When you go behind the curtains, they are bad as hell. There are a lot of pride there. There are a lot of competition. This is the problem when we go and we compromise our spiritual life, being deceived by external appearance. But the kingdom is inside of us. So everything that compromises your relationship, your truth to God, your position as a servant of light, of truth, you are not forced to follow. Not by God, not by your father, maybe by the God of this world, by the God of money. That's why the war on Revelation, she is mounted on the beast, because the fake Christian church, she rides on the beast. She gets her rewards from the beast. You see, it's church, but infidel church, it goes to hell, doesn't enter the New Jerusalem. There are no place for gay marriage there. There are no place for abortions. But this war of Babylon, she rides on the beast. So she compromises with the God of this world. she will compromise you if you stay inside of the system, because she will threat you to life, to steal your family, to steal your job, to congeal your bank account, because it comes from there. It belongs to the system. So please, do not be deceived, because you cannot say to Jesus that he deceived you. Jesus never said for you to follow darkness. Jesus never said to you to follow Bible or scripture. That's it, you heard well. Jesus never said for you to put your faith in scriptures. Do you not believe me? So open your Bible in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus was talking in chapter 7 of Matthew about, they call here, bienaventurances. It's the speech. And Jesus said at the end of that speech, Jesus was saying, blessed are the poor of the spirit, blessed are these. And at the end, he says this, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever weareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him into a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Jesus didn't point scriptures. Jesus didn't point pastors. Jesus didn't point popes. Jesus pointed his own words. These mine words. Jesus always point to him. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. So you cannot say that you are deceived by Jesus Christ. You are not able to confront in the day of your judgment and convince Christ that he didn't warn you, he didn't explain you the truth. You just follow the system if you want, because they have immediate rewards for you to offer. Didn't Satan appear to Christ on the desert? You are so hungry. Transform the stones in bread, and you will get your hungry hand. It comes to a good fake solution for your life. Oh, I need a wife, I need a husband, I need a company for my life. The first you it will appear, it comes from the system, from Satan. And it comes with appearance of sheep. If you don't run to your father to see what he sees, you will be deceived. The first solution for your problems comes from the enemy. He will put you in places to work when you most need money. But there, you will be confronted with a bad boss, with the bad helpers that will start inciting you to the sin. And if you follow, you are crucifying again Jesus Christ. You see how does this operate? But what did Jesus made in the desert? He confront them. He used the word with the right context to say, only to God I will worship, not you. Are you courage enough to say this to your pastor? If he starts becoming, wants to become the God of your life? Are you encouraged to lose your position, maybe your salary on the organization, on that religious organization? But remember, if you don't, next time you will ask much more until you deny completely the values of Jesus Christ. And it's not enough for you on that day to say to Jesus, I was following Bible. Jesus never said to you to follow Bible. Always Jesus appointed to himself, to his example. I was in a church where they manipulate so much. They are so anointed by the enemy that they can convince everyone that pleading by the blood of Jesus Christ and opening the Bible and putting the finger on a verse, it's Christ that is answering to you. When I start confronting this, I start being the bad sheep there. Now I know it's a Masonic practice. Now I know that that church is full of Masons. I didn't knew. That's why I never grew up inside of that church. But you see, this is easy one. I would never fall in this one. Really? If I tell you they use Bible to deceive people, go to Revelation and read about the blood. They overcome Satan by the blood. And they cut that verse there and stop preaching about the rest of the verse. And Satan uses words, spells, to deceive. But the practical, he goes further than what Jesus said. So people, if they want to know if God wants them to go to left or the right, they open the Bible, they plead by the blood, and put the finger. If it's a good verse, they decide that it's a yes. If it's a bad verse, they decide it's not. That's how on that church people are being led, using Bible. Because it's by the blood that we overcome. But they don't teach. It's by the blood and the words of his testimony. Which means his teaching. By the sacrifice and the teachings of Christ. Yes, that's magic. That's white magic. That's the right-hand path of the occult. Now I know. But I didn't know. I was trapped there a lot of things. I was being bullied by Satan. And I didn't know. And I confronted. Because the Holy Spirit inside of me was warning me. This is not me. But you better believe that Satan made you choose verses that seems literally that God is answering to you, to your problem. Because it's the Spirit that is guiding you that makes these wonders. You see? I know that God can use this. But is it a doctrine of Jesus Christ? God is forced to answer every time you open a Bible just because the apostles, they use one time this to choose one guy who would replace Jude? No, Jesus never said that. Jesus never said that it will guide you like this. But they made this a doctrine because Satan wants to control your spiritual life. And he does. When you accept doctrines, when you accept orders of people that are in front, they are bigger than Jesus Christ. They disobey Jesus Christ, charging tithing. This is not a gray situation. This is black or white. Jesus said to his disciples, give for free what you have received for free. But when you start paying these wolves to guide you, they will guide you happily to hell. Because you are disobeying God also. You are paying for your doom. You are feeding wolves and crocodiles that when they grow, they will not hesitate to bite you to death. Okay? This is the truth, if you can keep it. Like the Constitution. And this beast, this religious beast, is this war, this Babylonic war, is mounted on the beast. is mounted on the powers of this world, the political, the financial. That's why our gospel, modern gospel, becomes so materialistic. That's why you hear a lot of people that say they are Christians. Oh, my leader is so blessed. He has 2 houses and 5 cars. Only God can bless them like this. Really. Only God can bless a man like this. What about Nabucodonosor? What about all the kings of pagan gods that were much more powerful than these small pastors, these small dictators, religious dictators from these fields that only live with the sweat of the other one? When you accept paying tithes to people like this that are disobedient to Jesus Christ, you get what you deserve. Because you choose to free Barabbas in your life, not Jesus Christ. You are choosing to free the assassin in your life. But tonight, you have been warned. God, Yahushua, the Son, wants to be your own God. Are you courage enough to say, enough is enough? Are you willing to go and preach the truth and all the truth to those that are in darkness? That's what I'm doing here. I am being hated by so much pastors outside. But you know what? I am being so loved by Jesus Christ that I don't really care how much hate there are outside for me. I have my ticket to heaven guaranteed while I am obeying to the will and the teaching and the words of Yahushua Jesus Christ. The rest only enters in my life when it doesn't hurt what Jesus has taught me by the Bible and by the relationship I have with His Holy Spirit. Jesus never points anything in the Bible but to Himself. This is the most thing that you have to keep in your mind, because tomorrow you will be tested by Satan. And you will have an opportunity to please God. Jesus said, you search in the Scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them. But they are talking about me. Only Jesus can give us eternal life. Not the pastor, not the anointment of the pastor, not your tithing, not even the Bible, if you don't start following Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. Worshipping above and loving Him above all things. You will be deceived by the political correct gospel that is being used as another subliminal instrument to change Jesus Christ, to replace Jesus Christ in your life. You must love one each other like yourself, but not above Jesus Christ. Not above the values of Jesus Christ. When you hate the sin of someone, you are loving that person. If you support their sins, you are not loving that person. You are helping them to go to hell. And you will be charged as guilty in front of your God. Sometimes we cannot be politically correct with the enemy. Jesus was not politically correct with the mercenaries inside the temple. Jesus was not politically correct with the deceivement of the Pharisees. He called them sons of the devil. So, my brothers and sisters, do not let yourself be bullied by some ecclesiastical crocodiles. Do not do that, because it's not the will of God to see you suffer by lack of courage. I could be a pastor with a card. I could be a person in an evangelic world, but I prefer to be just a servant of Jesus Christ. I prefer to be hated by this world, by the war, by this Babylonic war, and the beast that feeds us, than be hated by Jesus Christ. I will update in Portuguese, and please keep that notes, read the notes. You will understand how the Bible can be changed, but not Jesus Christ. You will understand the deep of the trap when the Pope hand to be used by the devil, he starts using the Bible. And I still say the Bible is the best map we have. The Bible is the best map, not perfect, but it's the best map to find Jesus Christ in our life. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. If you need to take rest and keep in your heart the truth. Amados, eu vou terminar falando sobre a forma como o bullying eclesiástico nos pode enganar perfeitamente. Vou falar da manipulação da Bíblia, da destrução da Bíblia. Vocês podem comprovar como a Bíblia pode ser usada para nos enganar através da tentação de Cristo no deserto. O que é que o diabo usou? Escrituras. Mas Jesus respondeu-lhe com a sabedoria e discernimento e com as escrituras corretamente posicionadas, com o sentido certo, com o contexto certo. Mas ainda hoje o inimigo usa a Bíblia e é um dos maiores instrumentos nas mãos do inimigo para nos enganar com bullying eclesiástico e a Bíblia. Você começa seguindo a Bíblia e às tantas já não está seguindo Cristo. É verdade. Você acredita que a Bíblia é a palavra perfeita de Deus. É igual a Cristo. Mas o próprio Senhor Jesus disse que eles não encontrariam vida eterna nas Escrituras. Porque as Escrituras falam dele. Está lá escrito para quem quiser ler, para quem quiser ouvir. Está lá escrito em João 5,39. Procuram as Escrituras para encontrar a vida eterna, mas é de mim que elas falam. Se a Bíblia fosse a palavra de Deus, infalível, eterna, ela tinha que ser eterna e infalível. Mas a Bíblia nem é infalível, nem é eterna. Porque não tem vida eterna. Só Jesus é que tem. E foi Jesus que falou. Agora você vai escolher o quê? Deixar de acreditar em Jesus para acreditar na voz do seu pastor? Na voz da escola que lhe ensinaram que a Bíblia é a palavra? Não, meu amado. A Bíblia é o mapa. É palavras de Deus, é uma manifestação de Deus, é um mapa que Satanás tem alterado, tem manipulado, tem roubado de lá coisas importantes para te impedir de seguir Cristo. Quando a mentira do Papa terminou, ele começou a usar a Bíblia para você começar a seguir homens. Homens controlados por ele. E é assim que se processa a maioria dos bullying eclesiásticos, é pegar numa escritura e dizer, está escrito. Obedecei aos vossos pastores. Mas também está escrito. Um só é o vosso mestre. Também está escrito, e foi da boca de Jesus, que disse, a ninguém chamais mestre. Também está escrito que a unção que está em nós nos ensinará tudo. Mas isso eles não dizem. O que eles querem, você alimenta o orgulho deles. Amados, vocês podem comprovar, se tiverem coragem, como a Bíblia não é as escrituras originais, como a Bíblia foi alterada, como a Bíblia tem contradições. Você não acredita? Você tem coragem de abrir a Bíblia? Você tem coragem de hoje encontrar uma contradição na Bíblia evidente? Se você tiver coragem para amar a Cristo mais do que a Bíblia, você tem coragem. Abra, por exemplo, em Marcos. Abra, por exemplo, no capítulo 7, Marcos, versículo 24, onde Jesus está crucificado. Lá está escrito, Marcos 7, 24, que ambos aqueles que estavam pendurados ao lado dele, crucificados, estavam posando com Cristo. Nos outros evangelhos, só um ladrão estava gozando com ele. O outro arrependeu-se. E como esta contradição, há muitas. Não me diga que eu matei o seu Deus agora. Agora destruiu o seu Jesus, não foi? Está a ver como ela não é infalível? Está a ver como a Bíblia que você tem não é a palavra de Deus? Mas a Bíblia tem verdade suficiente ainda assim para ser considerada, por mim, o melhor mapa que o conduz à palavra de Deus, que é Cristo. E olha, você não vai poder dizer que Jesus enganou. Jesus nunca apontou para as Escrituras. Jesus nunca apontou para nenhum homem. Jesus sempre deu a direção certa para a sua vida. Segue-me. As minhas palavras não passarão. Mateus 7, 24. Eu quero pedir desculpa. Eu estava aqui enganando vocês porque estava a olhar para outra escritura. Aquela escritura que fala de Marcos é 15, 32. Evangelho de Marcos, capítulo 15, versículo 32. É aí que você vai ver uma grande contradição, por exemplo, entre o Evangelho de Marcos e os outros evangelhos. Marcos 15, 32 diz claramente que ambos os que estavam crucificados com Cristo estavam gozando com ele. Há muitas contradições. Para se aprofundar, você vai ver que em um evangelho, Cristo passa a refeição da Páscoa, passa a Páscoa com os discípulos e é morto no dia a seguir. Se você for ler João, ele é morto antes da Páscoa. Em João dizem que os fariseus não se queriam contaminar para poderem comer a Páscoa. Então, está vendo como há muitas contradições. Agora, a Bíblia, no sentido geral da coisa, sem as manipulações, ela é verdadeira, ela aponta para aquilo que é a verdade, que é Cristo. O próprio Senhor Jesus, em Mateus 7,24, era esta a escritura que eu estava olhando, depois das bem-aventuranças todas, ele diz claramente, aquele pois que ouve estas minhas palavras e as põe em prática, é semelhante a um homem prudente que edificou a sua casa sobre a rocha. Estas minhas palavras, as minhas palavras não passarão. Mas você que prefere seguir crocodilos, você prefere seguir lobos que te fazem pagar para ir para o inferno, faça uma boa viagem. Você pode ir de carro, pode ir de avião, escolha. Mas não vai poder dizer que Jesus apontou essas pessoas para a sua vida. E muito menos escrituras. Ele apontou as palavras. Eu venho de uma suposta igreja onde as pessoas são ensinadas a abrir a Bíblia. Clamam lá pelo sangue de Jesus e metem o dedo em cima de um versículo e está ali a resposta. Porquê? Porque usam Bíblia. Está lá em Apocalipse, venceram-no por causa do sangue. E para ali. A seguir pegam outra, fazem uma corte e costura E a sorte vem do Senhor, então é a sorte, é a sorte. Os apóstolos também lançaram sortes. Até me admira como é que ainda não começaram a consultar burros. Ué, Deus não usou um anjo para falar do burro? Pode-se fazer uma doutrina disso. Eles não usam porque já estão usando. O que não falta é burros. Tanto eles como aqueles que os seguem, como eu também já fui um burro. Já fui enganado por isto, até descobri que estava cheio de maçons. Até descobrir que andavam a receber prémios da maçonaria, os líderes. Até descobrir que isso é uma prática da maçonaria. Então, isto é bullying. Quando eu comecei a estranhar a coisa e a questionar, eu fui bullizado. Quase que morri espiritualmente, porque me sentia tão culpado. Por quê? Porque eu estava seguindo a Bíblia. Coisa que Jesus nunca ordenou. Então, meus amados, isto é um pequeno exemplo. É um pequeno exemplo como você pode ser eclesiasticamente bullizado. E olha, tudo o que você recebeu desse sistema está em risco se você confrontá-lo. Porque o que o sistema dá, o sistema tira. Ou você se prepara espiritualmente e cerra fileiras e sai desse sistema enquanto pode, ou então já não sai. Lembre-se que lá no livro do Apocalipse, a prostituta, a babilônica, ela monta-se em cima da besta. Ela monta-se em cima dos valores deste mundo. Financeiros, econômicos, militares. Ela casa-se com eles. É por isso que ela sobrevive. Por isso que você ouve tanta gente. Aquele homem é tão abençoado por Deus, é tão rico. É por isso que você paga a ser amaldiçoado. Com dízimos. Porque Jesus nunca mandou os seus discípulos fazer isso. Nunca. Nunca. Está na Bíblia, lá no Velho Testamento. Abraão deu o dízimo voluntário. Assim como Jacó. Não foi Deus lá que foi lá com a espada dizer, dá lá o dízimo ao Malquisedeque, senão enfite isto lá para o... Não. Senão o devorador devora tu. Não é, só está na sua, na minha não está. Mas eles já nem olham para a Bíblia. Eles estão tão inchados que só olham para o bucho. Quase arrebentar. E se você confronta, você vai ser bullizado. Eclesiasticamente bullizado. Por eles e pelos seguidores. Então, amado, faça um favor a si mesmo. Há tanta gente acordando. Há tanta gente despertando para... Ainda é possível seguir Jesus Cristo. Vai pagar um preço? Vai. Eu também paguei. Este ministério é tão odiado por essa gentalha evangelizada pela Bíblia que se não fosse o amor de Deus pela minha vida eu já estava debaixo da terra. Mas ainda estou aqui. Está pesadelo deles. Vou estar aqui o tempo que Deus entender falando a verdade. Mas você quer pagar a sua salvação, só vai pagar um bilhete direto para o inferno. Porque avisado você tem sido. Jesus nunca apontou escrituras. Jesus nunca apontou homens. Jesus sempre apontou para ele amar a Deus acima de tudo e depois os outros. Você vive num ambiente politicamente correto com o mundo, você vai ser amado pelo mundo, mas vai acabar odiando o nosso Senhor. Que Deus abençoe, se tiver coragem, seja abençoado. A minha parte foi feita, você pode se libertar desse sistema, a não ser que esteja seguindo o Deus que quer seguir. Mamon, os prazeres deste mundo, e já sabe, depois não vai dizer que você estava obedecendo ao seu pastor. O seu pastor nunca lhe mandou cobrar ou receber dízimos de ninguém. O seu pastor nunca mandou você se achar tão grande que pode fazer coisas que ele não fez. Deus o abençoe. My brothers and sisters, I will thank you again for your presence until the end. Let the Holy Spirit build your kingdom inside of your heart. Be bold and declare you belong only to Jesus Christ. Serve only those that don't hurt the teaching, the authority of Christ in your life. These are the humble ones that they know they belong to the same master. Only he is master. Only he is sir. Only Yahushua, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, our God, the creator of all things. This is your Father, this is your Lord, this is your friend. Don't follow me. Don't follow, as I may fall tomorrow. Follow Yahushua and keep what comes from him that brings you light, lightness to your life, and joy, and love to your spiritual man. God bless you, my brother and sister. I will see you again soon. Bye-bye.
For the longest time, I believed the lie that I'm not a strong enough believer to be the friend that can take your hand and lead you straight to Jesus. I'm waiting on the preachers, singers, and the teachers to string the perfect words together. But every single time I have to say goodbye, I wonder, will this be the last time? I can't call myself your friend and walk away. When we love, we earn the right to speak the truth. When we speak truth, we show the world. I'm holding out my hand. I lay it all on the line now to see God save my friend. Let my life and my words be the proof. I'm gonna love you with the truth.
When we